We continue hour number three tonight, and Mitchell Henderson is back, and boy, does he have some material for us tonight. He's loaded. Mitch, welcome back. Let's just jump right into it. Ready to go.
Okay, it's good to be here. Okay, so this is a report from inside Ukraine. It's the military situation. My source is a retired U.S. Army officer living in eastern Ukraine. Many U.S. military retired to places like Ukraine because its cost of living is cheaper than the USA. I've already used him as a source before, but mindful that he must watch what he says. Boost Mobile made all calls to and from Ukraine free until March 31st. Through a veterans organization, I was able to get his phone number in Ukraine. We set up a phone conversation using a widely known military expedient code. We wrote it out and then sent the code to each other by taking a picture of it and texting it to each other. We talked for hours. I was able to ask lots of questions to clarify lots of things. So let's jump in. He stated that the Ukrainian army is not a professional army, but rather a criminal gang. They rape, rob, and murder their own people. They will shell Geneva Convention prohibited targets to blame on the Russians as black propaganda operations. Whenever a humanitarian corridor is set up to evacuate cities, the Ukrainian army attacks the fleeing Ukrainian men, women, and children. It is witnessed these soldiers raping four-year-old girls before brutally murdering them. The Ukrainian army wants to keep people within the besieged cities to make life more difficult for the Russians and to cause them embarrassment and create hatred in the world for them. This is illegal use of civilians is a war crime. The Ukrainian army has a foreign legion. They require not just military veterans, but you must show proof of combat experience as a combat arms soldier. There was an influx of Antifa volunteers who had combat experience, some in northeast Syria fighting ISIS, many more that served with the Kurdish Peshmerga against ISIS in Iraq. They did this because the Kurdish fighters in Syria are communists. The Ukrainian army informed an English-speaking infantry company comprised of American, British, Australian, Canadian, and New Zealander troops, all Antifa, and after being equipped, they were transported to eastern Ukraine, unloaded from trucks in a forest, lined up, then executed with a shot to the back of the head. The Ukrainian army executed these 178 volunteers because the Ukrainian army is a criminal organization and thought these troops would betray them for the war crimes that they do. The political correct are not welcomed in their criminal gang.
Wow.
I have previously seen it reported elsewhere, but the number was 100 shot in the head with less details about who they were. Okay. So he's not the only source of that story.
These were American Antifa members for the most part.
American Antifa members, just executed. Because they're going to, you know, they're Antifa. They're going to say what they saw.
Of course.
They don't want that. Okay.
Got it.
He said that non-white or Jewish volunteers are executed soon after arrival. They do not want their country polluted. I asked him about the stories of the Ukrainian army being Nazi, as is widely reported. He said that there are troops of every political persuasion, from Nazis to communists and anarchists. If you are a Ukrainian citizen, it makes no difference. He said that the Azov Battalion is led by a self-proclaimed Ukrainian National Socialist that are fighting in Mariupol. The Russians will take Mariupol because it is in Donetsk province. That is non-negotiable. He says that the common shoulder patch used by the Ukrainian army, the Black Sun, is mistakenly seen as a Nazi symbol by woke people, but explains that it is an old symbol used by the pharaohs in ancient Egypt. You can look it up. It's true. And by the Merovingians fighting to keep the Muslims out of France in the 7th century A.D.
Right.
Before World War II, anti-communist Ukrainians formed the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists under Stefan Bandera. Although it was not a national socialist organization, it used a red over black flag that represented Ukrainian blood over the Ukrainian black soil. The Ukrainian flag itself is blue, representing the big sky of flat Ukraine, over yellow, which represents the wheat that grows there. The black sun symbol was adapted to Vice Bandera to represent the ubiquitous Ukrainian sunflower under the darkness of communism. The black sun is also a shoulder patch used by the Russian Wagner Group mercenaries. Okay? So if you see that patch, then forget about the politics of it. Okay? Lots of people use it.
Right.
Okay? So there is a communist battalion in his area called the Khrushchev Battalion after ethnic Ukrainian Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev, who while drunk signed Russian Crimea over to Ukraine in 1954. There's also a Nestor Makhno battalion of anarchists in honor of the Ukrainian anarchist Makhno, who fought the Ukrainian for Ukrainian independence during the Russian Civil War of 1917-1923. However, he said that you should not be fooled by these political affiliations. These are bandit battalions that are more focused on rape, pillage, and plunder than they are on fighting the Russians. All of the arms and money we send to Ukraine are making these criminal gangs very powerful. If the Ukrainian army wins, Ukrainians will be living in a mafia state run arbitrarily and capriciously by these criminal gangs. Mm-hmm. War will end, but crime will reign supreme. He said that the Ukrainian army captures young Ukrainian women and girls to sell into prostitution rings. This includes young boys to be sold to pedophiles. Whenever you hear of a Ukrainian counterattack, which we see in the newspaper all the time, what is actually happening is that the Russians are abandoning some areas to concentrate forces elsewhere. In the south, the Russians pulled back to the east of the Dnieper River, leaving the city of Kherson unoccupied. Never sacrifice men to hold territory. The first destroy the enemy's army, then set secondary objectives. The Ukrainian army is a gaggle without any unit of command or having any clear or achievable objectives, just like the Western armies that trained them. After all, NATO trained the Afghan army for 20 years, and they were defeated in weeks. Even the mainstream media noted that when the Ukraine army counteroffensive was launched on a suburb of Kiev, there were no Russian soldiers there to stop them. That is not a counterattack. If there's nobody to attack, it's not a counterattack. The Ukrainian army also finds gypsies, ties them to poles, and paints them green so everyone knows that they're gypsies. They advise them to leave Ukraine or die. Under the cover of war, Ukrainian army is ethnic cleansing gypsies, Jews, people of color, LGBT people, Russians, Hungarians, Moldovans, Romanians, Poles, and Ruthenians. Ukrainian soldiers cripple and torture all Russian soldiers they capture. This is a war crime. Ukrainian medical doctors have orders to castrate all Russian prisoners of war. My contacts say they actually do this. These doctors should know that they will hang if Russia wins. So why do they do it? The Ukrainian army is sure that Zelensky will succeed in getting NATO into a nuclear war with Russia. That is their only plan for victory. That's all they're shooting for. Of course, my contact said that if there is a war with NATO, under those conditions, Russia will nuke Ukrainian cities also. After a month, the Russians are reaching stage two of their offensive. In stage one, they wanted to cut off supplies and reinforcements to the very well dug-in troops facing the Donetsk and Luhansk republics, because those republics only have half the province so far, and they want the whole province. Okay. They will keep up the fighting around Kiev to keep the Ukrainians occupied and even give ground around Kiev to make the Ukrainians think they are gaining traction while they concentrate forces for a final offensive to take the entire Luhansk and Donetsk provinces. They will continue to bomb the western Ukraine just to create fear and make it hard to govern or control. They are bringing troops from occupied, these are the Russians, are bringing troops from occupied Georgia and the Caucasus for their final offensive on Ukrainian lines in Donetsk and Luhansk. They've also brought in Chechen troops and Syrian troops, along with Wagner Group hardened forces, to storm the Ukrainian defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
He has talked to Russian officers who told him that they do not want to own Ukraine. They would rather have it as a neutral buffer state between Russia and NATO. With Moldova and Ukraine neutral, that leaves only their northern flank vulnerable. They want to apply the slow squeeze to get Zelensky to declare Ukraine neutral forever, and Russia will guarantee what is left of Ukraine's national territory. Ukraine must accept and recognize the Donetsk Republic and Luhansk Republic, as well as Crimea, being Russian territory. That is the minimum that he must accept.
Okay, Biden, I have a question.
Go ahead.
There are a lot of good people, as we all know, in Ukraine, both in the East and in the West. And I'm wondering how many Ukrainians in the West really have a handle or a clue about how evil that country is under the control of the oligarchs and Zelensky and his henchmen and the others. They have turned, and I should not leave out Hunter Biden either, or Joe, up to 30 bioweapons labs in there. God only knows what pedophilia the Bidens have engaged in years gone by there. I just wonder if the average Ukrainian knows how rotten that country has become since we overthrew the legitimate government 8 years ago.
Well, my contact says that the people in the East are well aware of what's going on. I mean, it's them who's getting killed by the Ukrainian army. So they're well aware of their antics and stuff, okay? They dread the time when the Ukrainians launch chemical weapons on them to provoke a NATO response, okay? They think that they don't think the Russians will do that to them. They think that the Ukrainian government will do that to them. Okay. So, I think there are people aware, and some people who have fled probably have some idea also. So, Biden has publicly stated that whatever Zelensky negotiates, trading territory for peace, it is Zelensky's call and the U.S. will accept it. The child molester's words are worthless. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Blinken will change that, just like he is now. So after stage two of the offensive, if Ukraine does not agree to a settlement, Russia will start the squeeze to apply pressure for a settlement, taking more and more with the warning that they will not ever get it back, the Ukrainians want. Stage three is to take Zaporizhia and Kherson province east of the Dnieper, and the Ukrainians will never get it back. Stage four is to take the same provinces west of the Dnieper River, along with Mykolaiv and Odessa provinces, so that Russia can control the entire Black Sea coast, control all of the river mouths coming out of Ukraine, and link Russia up with Transnistria and eastern Moldova. This land will never be again a part of Ukraine once it has been taken.
Right.
If the Ukrainians do not cave by then, Russia will continue to stage five, to take Dnipropetrovsk and Kharkiv provinces, not to be given back as a part of negotiations. Stage six will take Sumy and Poltava provinces, as well as Cherkasy province east of the Dnieper River. Stage seven will be to take Kharkiv province and Kiev province east of the Dniester River. Once taken, they will not be given back. Stage eight will be to take all of Kiev province, the rest of Cherkasy province, and Kirovhrad province. Once taken, they are non-negotiable. Stage nine will be to take Chitomir and Vinnytsia province. If Ukraine capitulates before the next offensive, these provinces can be negotiated back. Stage 10 will be to take Rivne and Khmelnytsky provinces. These provinces will be up for negotiation also, even if taken.
Now, these are all military operations, correct?
Yes, yes.
They're just going to go take province after province. Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's put a squeeze on him. Like, every day he loses more property. They want to get Luhansk and Donetsk first. And then every day after that, they're going to squeeze Ukraine out of territory until they buckle and give up. Okay? So,
I want you to know that, Mitch, excuse me, I want to commend you on getting this information from an American source on the ground who lives there. You have more credibility than anything I've seen come out of the Ukraine government or its media. Never seen more lies in my life. Never seen more fraud in my life.
It just disgusts me when I look in the look in the newspapers, and I even look on Fox News. I see so much lying going on. I mean, it's
nonstop. It's just
nonstop.
It's reflective. It is reflective of the evil you have very well, through your friend, described. That's what you'd expect. Lies and fraud.
Yeah, it is. You always lie on war. It's what they do. You know, it's like everybody has to fall in line and think like the government does, you know. If Ukraine doesn't make a deal after being afforded these two outs, then Russia will take all of Ukraine and absorb it into Russia permanently.
That'd be my choice. Free the people. Liberate the people. Cleanse the evil.
Yeah, good. At present, Russia has committed only 9 of its 70 combat divisions. It has plenty of reserves. Zelensky has tried 3 times to make a false flag attack on NATO that no one bought into. The drone that flew into Croatia, another small drone into Romania, and one into Hungary. Senator Liz Cheney said in open Congress that a chemical attack by Russia would be a red line leading to war between the U.S. and Russia. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime says that there would be consequences, but stopped short of saying that it would mean war with NATO. America likes to murder innocent civilians over these bogus chemical attacks that their proxies set off. How many innocent civilians had to die so Al-Qaeda could get the U.S. to bomb civilians?
Right.
This happened in Syria many times, okay? And there's ample proof. Listen, I was a biological, chemical, radiological trained soldier. When I looked at the victims of these attacks and how they were treating them, that was 100% bogus. 100% bogus. Just simply not true. If they had been sitting there with a garden hose without protective equipment, washing so-called nerve gases off of people, everybody in that area would have dropped dead within minutes. Okay, the effect of it. Okay,
the Russia. We can say
very toxic.
Can we not say with virtual certainty the Russians would never use chemical weapons? It's utterly unnecessary.
It would serve no purpose.
That's right.
You know, I mean, listen, they could have saved a lot of their people's lives by using them in World War II. But the reason they didn't use them is because Hitler hated chemical weapons. And he never wanted to use them on human beings because he himself had been a victim of chemical weapons.
In World War
One,
you bet.
Even though he had lots of them, he didn't like them. Okay. So Russia has said that it has no intention nor would it be necessary to use nuclear weapons on Ukraine. Those are reserves for NATO and other unfriendly nations, which include South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan. And I should add the Philippines. Zelensky was trying to get his hands on a B-61 nuke from Buchel Luftwaffe base in Germany to drop on his own people to drag NATO into the war.
When was this allegedly happening?
That was a month ago, and actually it was well publicized.
Uh-huh.
It was not a big secret.
Yeah.
So, but
I just want to make that clear
to
everyone. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's common knowledge. It's not something special. And I've mentioned it before in a previous report. So next I'm going to go to a report from inside Russia, the military situation there. I've been talking to a female Russian general.
Excuse me again.
Oh, go ahead.
What you just heard from Mitch by virtue of his contact in Ukraine is the best information you're going to get. I've watched this closely. I have not seen or heard anything that can come close to that in terms of probability, practicality, and reliability. That source is extraordinary. So well done again, Mitch. Go ahead.
Well, you're welcome. What gives me credibility in the guy, too, is is I'm an Army officer, and he's an Army officer, and I can tell he's not bogus because of the slang he uses, because of his knowledge of military terminology and stuff. And he has no bone in the game. He lives there. He's just retired there. He has not become a Ukrainian citizen. He just lives there as a as a long-term resident. His wife is a Ukrainian Russian, though. So he speaks fluent Russian and Ukrainian and stuff. And he said when he first moved there, he had dealings with the Ukrainian army, you know, because he's an army guy. Army guys always talk to each other. But he found out right away that these guys were criminals and jackasses. He didn't want to deal with them. When he approaches the Russian officers, when he talks to them, okay, he gets clear and concise, you know, things, information from them. They'll just tell them, you know, what their intentions are. Okay, now these guys are up to the grade of a lieutenant colonel in the Russian army. So he hasn't talked to any generals or defense ministers or nothing. But this is people on the ground there, okay?
Okay, very good. All right. Hold on just a minute.
And they're actually protecting him. Okay.
Okay, good. Mitch and I will be right back with more in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about information from Russia next. Stay tuned. Of insider information from Ukraine and from the Russian perspective with Mitchell Henderson. Go ahead, Mitch.
Okay, so I've been talking to a female Russian journalist for about 5 years now. She's a public interest journalist that has close ties to the Russian military and has even interviewed Putin in person.
Okay, wow.
So there's something let me tell you something she told me. This is maybe about 4 years ago, and it helped me understand the situation. So she said, you know, the Russian people look at NATO encroaching on them, and they see that we engineer the overthrow of a democratically elected government in Ukraine and say it's some kind of wonderful victory. And she says, you know, what they fear in Russia is they do not want our woke CRT, LGBT, decadent, immoral culture in Russia. Uh-huh. They don't want it. And to understand that, she explained in the Russian Orthodox Church, the way they believe their church operates is that all the members of the church move towards God at the same time. They have a word for it called achasm. Okay, and this is the way they think. So they're very collectivist in their religion. Okay, so she said that Russians have to live poorer lives because they have to throw all this money into the military to protect themselves from the satanic West.
Yes, yeah. Okay. And, now, the Western lifestyle. Ugh. Well, yeah. I would join her in a second. No problem.
So anyways, she said that the Russian people love their military because they understand what they're doing. Okay. So once they can stop this sanction bullshit that America does and embargoing and all this stuff that America does to bully other countries, they said then the Russian people can be free and can start raising up and living a middle class lifestyle and stuff. They'd all like to do that. Okay, so she told me that Putin sent in the weakest of his combat units into Ukraine to toughen them up, make them better fighting formations. Russia has put all of its very best units near the borders of Finland, Estonia, and Latvia, as well as some in Belarus to coordinate with Belarusian army forces who intend to invade Lithuania. If NATO goes to war, Russia only wants Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania so it can join the Kaliningrad province that's situated between Lithuania and Poland on the Baltic Sea. If Finland applies to join NATO, they will take Finland and incorporate it into Russia also. Sweden has already withdrawn their request to join NATO because I think they see the foolishness
of
5 million Finns trying to keep the Russians out, okay? Serbia says it will never join NATO, and it will not permit Kosovo to do so. So we're looking at another conflict coming there. Russia will back Serbia. In a war with NATO, Russia will nuke NATO and all of its allies. Europe will be destroyed, and it will be centuries before they could threaten Russia again. If they nuke NATO, they will be nuking South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, Australia, and New Zealand also. Okay.
When you say they, let me be sure. Let's go back over that again. When you say they nuke, I want to be sure, so please do that again. That was very interesting.
This is if Russia. Russia has to nuke NATO. They will be nuking South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, Australia, and New Zealand also.
But we get left out of the nuke party.
Oh, no, we're in NATO. When it says NATO, he means Canada and the United States also.
Okay, let's make that clear.
Iceland doesn't have a military, but they'll nuke them.
All right. We want to make that clear. We are targeted.
Okay.
We sure as hell deserve it after all the crap we've given the so-called brave and glorious Ukrainian military. God. We've killed a lot of Russians, destroyed a lot of material. We are an active participant in the war right now, I'm sure, as far as most of the Russian military, if not all of it, is concerned. We are de facto fighting with the Ukrainian military because we are supplying them.
So in the West, we've convinced ourselves that nuclear war is winnable. I'm saying this just to explain what she's telling me. The Zionist Herman Kahn convinced generations of Americans, Canadians, and Europeans into believing that in mutually assured destruction made nuclear war impossible. The Russians lost 30 million people, China lost 20 million people, and the arrogant Americans lost only 400,000 people in World War II. So the Chinese and Russians see things differently. They think a nuclear war is not only winnable, but that they are fighting Satan himself. I remember reading a biography of a Soviet general provided by the Defense Intelligence Agency that said he was terrified of the prospect of nuclear war. He took part in a live-fire nuclear exercise with nukes and troops. When it was over, he said nuclear war was doable and winnable. He got his confidence back. Okay, so the American media, including Fox News, say consistently that the Russians have failed and they are too weak and disorganized. They hear that news over there. Our generals who have never won a war are preaching to us about Russian incompetence. This is a trap, I am told. Remember that Putin is a fan of Sun Tzu and the Art of War. When you are weak, appear strong, what NATO is doing. When you are strong, appear weak, what Russia is doing. When close, appear far away, Russia. And when far away, appear close, NATO. Keep in mind that all these troops that we sent to the eastern frontier of Poland and so forth aren't going to stop anything. Okay. Do we really believe that our military, which has embraced equity, is actually strong? Our strength is our diversity. Russia's strength is its nuclear arsenal. What a happy day in a moral Russia that disdains our immorality and decadence when hellfire rains down upon the deluded, Satan-worshipping, woke barbarians of the West. They know that the woke are, in fact, self-deluded and asleep in their impractical dream world. Then they will have peace. The whore of Babylon and all that drank her wine will perish. And these were her words. Again. She told me that Chinese troops, you got to remember, let me preface this a little bit. We had warned China not to give military assistance to Russia. But she told me that Chinese troops are in Russia and have been for years. They rotate Chinese units into training with Russian troops. They want some interoperability. The Chinese have established a major base in the Solomon Islands, putting them near Australia. The Chinese are also talking to India to cool tensions and get India on board against America. America has consistently betrayed India. China does not want to fight a two-front war. India is amenable. China can give them what they want, because they'll give them anything to get that part off their back. The Philippines has become bellicose with China. China is seeing U.S. forces build up in the region. They do not have years to get Taiwan back. If they don't move soon, the window of opportunity could close for another century, and they know that. Iran will not sign the JCPOA if it is sanctioned for trading with Russia. Iran is stepping up pressure on Saudi Arabia and UAE to get some unity in the Middle East that is opposed to the USA. Even Israel will not sanction Russia. Israel does not trust the USA anymore. They will offer lip service, but their interests come first. Russia has created more peace for Israel than the USA has ever done. Qatar was declared a major U.S. ally, but they will not sanction Russia and they will not increase oil production. She says that the end game should be obvious to us, but it is not. Russia, China, India, South Africa, Iran, Pakistan want to create a new world order by dumping the petrodollar and the dollar as the international reserve currency. The dollar comes with strings attached, and the USA uses it as a bludgeon to make other nations obey them through sanctions. Frankly, the world is sick of this. Only the United States and its allies are following through on the sanctions, and many of our allies refuse to sanction Russia. So Saudi Arabia and UAE, the United Arab Emirates, will not talk to Biden because he betrayed them and made them vulnerable to Houthi rocket attacks, which are going on today. Mm-hmm. They can't stand to hear him talk. Why would they want to talk to a moron who has to have his staff walk back on many stupid things that the old pedophile says? Even I can't stand to hear the doddering old child molester speak. Bashar Assad went to Saudi Arabia and the UAE on Putin's behalf to put an end to the petrodollar. Russia has informed unfriendly nations that they have to pay for energy
with rubles.
In rubles.
Yeah.
This, in effect, means that Europe could not buy Russian energy, even if they wanted to. The EU told Russia that they will not pay in rubles. Russia said no rubles, no oil. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime said that the USA will sell them energy. You like paying $5 a gallon now? It will be $15 a gallon when we sell our gas to the European Union at discounted prices, discounts that we do not get. The United States right now has to import 40% of our oil that we consume. How can we export if we have to import 40% of what we need? The pedophile Marxist Biden regime can't even do arithmetic. How can they run the world? And the rest of the world is asking that question. Keep in mind that the price of oil affects every product you buy. When transportation costs go up, all prices go up. Add to that the fact that there is direct relationship between how much money is printed and inflation. We had the inflation of 2021 because of all the money that Trump and the pedophile Marxist Biden regime printed to establish public health, police state, and rig our election. Add to that the fact that we printed dollars for all the world to use in commerce. Economists called that exporting inflation. We are going to see hyperinflation because all that money will come back when the petrodollar fails and we are no longer the world reserve currency. We will become like the Weimar Republic, where people went out to clubs every night to spend their money before it lost value the next day. America with its sanctions regime will lead to starvation. If there is not a nuclear war, you will be dying of starvation by Christmas. You will watch your children die. Russia and Ukraine will not be selling food to the world this year. Russia has banned the exportation of food crops because he will make sure his people will eat. We have a Marxist dictatorship that will make sure you will starve. This happens in all communist countries. Food is a weapon to be used to control people. Transportation costs will skyrocket in the name of the satanic religion of climate change. In order to pressure people into buying electric cars and trucks, the price of gasoline and diesel goes up. Diesel vehicles is being jacked up artificially so they cost the same as electric vehicles. They're taking choices away from you. As fuel prices go up, it will be too expensive to operate your gasoline-fed vehicles. This is how both the Great Replacement and the Great Reset will happen. It is a self-inflicted punishment. Americans sit idly by and allow all this punishment to be visited upon them because they are fed lies and they believe without much question. We allow white guilt and critical race theory to be the priority in our national development. We choose punishment for sins we never personally committed. We are a masochist nation. To choose punishment over forgiveness, to choose slavery over freedom, this is darkness. People can never be free unless they choose the light of truth, freedom, and forgiveness. They have to forgive themselves for their own inaction in the face of enslavement. Folks, this is the war that the Zionist, pedophile, Marxist Biden regime is visiting upon us. Do you think Russia sat back and did nothing to prepare for this? Russia did everything to prepare for this. Everything that we do to hurt him will hurt us 10 times as bad.
Already seeing it with the sanctions. You got it.
Yep. The pedophile Marxist Biden regime is the satanic Zionist tool to bring America down. Nobody disrespects you or hates you more than your satanic Marxist government. They want your vote, they want your praise, but they don't care if you live or die. In March 2020, Trump abdicated his presidency and turned it over to Anthony Fauci and the Marxist Democratic governors. We formally lost our Bill of Rights, Constitution, and free, fair elections on January 20th, 2021. There was a flurry of social media posts and the ensuing cancel culture. So America, the land of the free, died with a whimper. It only cost us jobs, small business failures, and an official death toll of a million citizens killed by a biological weapon that our government used on us. Then we paid $1 million per second to be forcefully injected with another biological weapon. Exactly how many Americans did that kill? Well, this comes from two sources, that suggest this. In August of last year, they reported that 10 million people had voluntarily left their jobs. Every month since, they reported another 4 million people walked off their jobs. Do you know any of these people? Or are these numbers the number of Americans that our government has murdered through the kill shots? That would be about 42 million Americans murdered so far. How do these people make a living without a job?
How do they? How do they?
They're not alive.
Benefits have been cut off. The free ride is over. And in most every state I've heard, the feds aren't paying them anymore not to work or subjugating them.
And yet we still are losing 4 million workers per month.
Well, I've said that we've got at least 5 million dead, and you may be closer to the truth with 40 than 5. I don't know. Is it possible to hide 40 million dead in a nation of 330 million? Yes, especially when you control the media. And they're dying of all kinds of things now, remember? Because the spike protein has destroyed their immune systems, and they are wide open. They have AIDS. Anything can kill. Anything. So they have plausible deniability as much as they could ever want, these being the big pharma killers that are putting this crap out. So it could be, Mitch, it could be 40. I don't know. It's outrageous, whatever it is. It's beyond words.
Well, there was a group of doctors that suggested that that's what was happening to these 4 million people per month. And when I stopped and thought about it, I thought, yeah, where are all these people? I haven't met any. You know, this is my experience. This is anecdotal. It's not statistical. It's not, you know, anything. But I know one person who died of COVID, and I know four people that have died from the vaccine. Okay. And that's just my experience. Shouldn't I be experiencing more deaths from COVID? But I'm not. I'm experiencing more deaths from the vaccine. That number will go up as time goes by.
Well, remember the Deagle.com projections. Just don't forget them.
And so when I talk about Marxism, I want everybody to understand that you can change the word Marxism into Satanism into Zionism, and they all mean the same thing. They come from the same source. Okay. Right. So Marxism is dialectical materialism. Materialism is hedonism. For a little pleasure and comfort, we have sold our souls to Satan for a pittance and signed our own death warrants. America is dead. We just haven't felt it yet. You will be feeling it soon enough. Then it will be too late. Okay?
Well, as I've said many times, I was told over 3 years ago that they were pulling the plug on this country and Western Europe and others. They were done with us.
Well,
and look what's happened.
It's exactly as I was told.
Mm-hmm. It's happening. I don't know.
There may be a few countries that survive. I mean, even some NATO countries are not going along. You know, even Georgia refuses to sanction Russia. And they have problems with Russia, but they won't sanction them, you know.
I mean,
Hungary refuses to get involved because Ukraine murders their people. So why would they help the Ukraine? You know, there's no reason for them to. Croatia wants no part of it. Turkey will not sanction Russia. And Turkey has, outside the United States, Turkey has the largest army in NATO. Okay. So we really count on them when it comes to, like, ground troops and stuff. Okay, that's very important.
Do you think
Erdogan would dare join NATO in a fight against Russia?
No, absolutely not. Listen,
I don't buy that.
Erdogan,
no.
Here's the thing. Erdogan has been sanctioned by the United States. Erdogan hates sanctions, okay? So he will not sanction Russia. And he is not going to go to war with Russia over American sanctions. As a matter of fact, Turkey will probably join the alternative currency regime that they want to set up. They want to quit trading in dollars. They're talking to Saudi Arabia and UAE to drop the petrodollar. That was just an arrangement that the United States made with Saudi Arabia a long time ago. But, you know, now they won't even talk on the phone to us. We really stabbing them in the back. You know, the pedophile Marxist Joe Biden comes in. First thing he does is cuts off arms sales to Saudi Arabia and the UAE. And then it pulls all the anti-missile defenses out of those countries. Those countries are getting attacked by missiles, okay? And they're hitting oil processing plants.
Sure.
Okay. So do we have a completely incompetent government, or do we have a government that hates us and wants to destroy us? I think the U.S. government that we have right now is the enemy of the people. I would even go as far as saying our government is the enemy of humanity, morality, decency.
And the war is really against Goyim Christians. Those are the targets.
Yep.
That's what this war is being fought against right now.
LGBT agenda at the point of a bayonet across the world, you know?
True. So, well said. Wow. What a report.
By the way, Putin told the U.S. Embassy to take their gay pride flag down. They told them to quit flying it. So.
What an obscenity. And just such a short period of time. Just amazing.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Wow. All right. One final question. In your view, and just 30 seconds, please, no more if you can do it.
nuclear war potential as we face it right now? What's your take?
Well, I think it's a sure thing because it's Zelensky's agenda to start it.
He's a little Zionist cokehead doing his job. Little Zionist
playing
joy boy.
Playing the piano with his penis on public TV. He's a really squared away person, you know.
Really, really, yeah. Got his act together, doesn't he? Thank you, Mitch. Great job. Really good.
You're welcome.
Superb. All right. Talk to you. Mitchell Henderson. And, wow. Okay, off and running. Tuesday, tomorrow. Still time to get out to Costco and buy yourself some food if you can afford it. Please do. Talk tomorrow.